All right, guys, welcome to episode 8 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. It's New Year's Eve here at Primal Alchemy HQ, so I want to wish everyone the best as we move into 2019. 2019 is going to be a big year, guys. There's a lot of shit going on behind the scenes that is really going to alter the reality that we perceive and living on a day-to-day life. Like, you really can't comprehend what's going down. There's going to be a complete paradigm shift coming very soon. And this means that we really have to take control of our own reality. And we need to first understand reality and where we fit within it and where we want to go with our lives and make of it. So why not start by really equipping yourself with the best tools you can on your own hero's journey this year in 2019. The best place to start is here at primalalchemy.co.uk. Grab yourself Vitruvian Protein, the world's only organic, paleo and keto accredited protein superfood powder. You've got an organic whey protein, adaptogenic, nootropic, prebiotic herbs, and pretty much the world's best high vibrational superfoods that I could find and formulate into a complete package for you guys. So if you use the code REDPILL, that's the code REDPILL, you're getting an exclusive 10% off any purchase made through primalalchemy.co.uk. So moving on to today's guest, he's an interesting character to say the least. Someone who I've been following for a while and love his work. And yeah, I really wanted to get him on and see what he was about in person, because I'm here in the UK, he's over in Austin, Texas, and it would be pretty hard for me to really have the time of day to be able to sit down and talk to him if I wasn't able to do it using this as a medium. And yeah, today's guest is Leo Savage. It's not his real name, of course, but it is the name given to him. He's been knighted by his following as Leo Savage, and you're learning the podcast, the story behind that. But Leo is one of the world's most renowned mace specialists. So the mace is a functional piece of fitness equipment that is really started to find its own in 2018. There's a lot of people that are starting to see the benefits of it. And it can really be used as not only a great way to exercise the whole body, but also in that it can allow you to find a deep state of meditation when you're deep into the flow of the movements, especially the movements that Leo teaches and instructs on. So yeah, I've really enjoyed this talk. Leo pretty much did all the talking, to be fair. I mean, I didn't really talk too much, so if you hate my voice, then you're in for a treat on this one, because you don't hear much of it. It's pretty much Leo discussing his own personal journey, his own trials and tribulations that he's faced throughout his life in order to become the man who he is today, how he got his job on HQ as the mace, one of the head mace instructor coaches there, and his mentors and allies that he's made along the way. It was really interesting. And as with most people that you find have a real interesting backstory to them, their stories always mirror and mimic the hero's journey, which me and Leo do bring up and briefly discuss, because it's an important factor to take in, an important variable within the equation of ascension and self-actualization. So yeah, let's just get on with it. Hopefully you guys really enjoy this one. Hope you really enjoy Leo as well. Again, I'll say it again, he is quite the character, and that does come through on this podcast. So yeah, hopefully you enjoy it, guys. Time to get woke as fuck.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below. What lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality. The whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path. Looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar as we go deep down to the molecular level. Tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use the nature to heal. With a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal. And your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Primal Alchemy.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
So 3, 2, 1, and all right, guys, we're live and we're back. This is episode 8 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour. So today's guest, we're in for a treat, guys. We're going to go deep on this one. It's going to be pretty unadulterated. Don't know where the chat's going to go, but hopefully you guys enjoy the ride. And yeah, let's just see where we take this and have some fun. So today's guest is Mr. Leo Savage. What's going on, man?
What's up, y'all? It's Leo Savage, all the way from the United States of America, currently in Austin, Texas, but who knows where I'll be next month. I'm just a traveling, rambling, mace-swinging man.
Nice, brother. Love it. So we were talking a little bit before air, Leo, and we were just discussing the importance of facing adversity in life and really developing a character from your experiences. And it, for me, it's like I love someone who's been through some shit, not necessarily in, like, to push negativity on someone, but I just love someone who's they've done some work with their shadow self and they've been through some shitty times and they've come out on top. And yeah, they've, for me, it's just shows so much character, more character than I would sort of get off someone who's just inherited shit tons of money and or have just got a good job. Or, and for me, it's the challenges overcome that really represent someone's true character. And for you, dude, I'd love for you just to be able to just run myself down and everyone that's listening to your story, man. How did you get to where you are today?
All right. Well, how did I get to where I am today? It all started off with my parents having sex. My mom got pregnant. 9 months later, Leo Yurkitis was born. I mean, that's really, I mean, that's where
it would have sucked if that didn't happen.
Hey, the journey, where, how did I get here? Well, man, like what a question. And, you know, I've had an opportunity to answer the question, where did Leo spawn from? Many a times. So, but let's see if we can shake this one up a little bit. So you talked about, and I love this example, and especially like right now, it's pretty close to the holiday seasons, and here in the United States, we have Thanksgiving, we have Christmas, and we have New Year's. All right. New Year's is a fantastic holiday. However, Thanksgiving and Christmas put a lot of pressure on you to be, involved with the family. In these family gatherings, there's always that uncle that shows up, right? He shows up on his motorcycle. He's in a leather jacket. He's smoking a cigarette. He smells like booze. He's got a pretty brunette on his motorcycle. Thanksgiving, he comes over Christmas, same uncle. This time it's a blonde. And there's just something about that uncle. You just want to get to know the cool uncle. And he's traveled a little bit. He's experienced a little bit. Matter of fact, Cool Uncle is a motherfucking character. So experience plays on someone's soul. It might change their frequency enough that when you see him, you just automatically know, well, here's somebody who's traveled a bit and has had some experience. So the And one thing that, you know, you mentioned as far as like a character is I am a character. You know, my real name is not Leo Savage. That's not my birth name. Although I get that a lot. And like, how cool would that be? You know, to be Leo Savage. But the neat thing about Leo Savage was that name was gave to me. You know, all the nicknames out there, and just really happy that I had one that it's fucking cool. I like Leo Savage. It could be like Little Leo. That was my nickname growing up. You know, so you know, having being a character and then having the universe choose my alter ego, my name, my character name, it's awesome. And really, how did I get to where I am? And that was really finding out, not so much finding out who I was. Like, I know people say that, right? But if you really think about, like, I found who I am, I really found who I was. I don't fucking buy that shit. I think if you find something, that probably belongs to somebody else. However, if you create yourself, that is a more realistic conversation than somebody who is finding themselves, right? So the idea of finding yourself, like people say, like, hey, I went to yoga and I really found myself. I beg to differ. You found a yoga class, right? As opposed to somebody who might create a world around them themselves, a world in that they want to live in. Like, for instance, Leo Savage, I love waking up at 4 a.m. every morning and smoking a joint by 4:20. To have my first laugh of the day. And I just decided the character, this life that I'm going to live, this life that I'm going to build, not find, is going to be created based on, this is how I want to live my life. I don't want to find myself. I want to create myself. I think understanding that creating yourself versus finding yourself, they're two totally different conversations, but they can seem very similar. So it could be a little bit of a tricky conversation. These people, these travelers, right? Cool uncle, people who have gone out and seen the world. They didn't go out and find shit. They went out and created an adventure, you know, an experience. It was through me being myself that I was dubbed the name Leo Savage. And this is a cool story. I'll share this with you. So back in the day, when I first started my mace adventure, I'm not going to take you to the precise day I started. We'll fast forward a little bit. However, this is truly when I started to become Leo Savage. I worked in a gym and I got fired from the gym for swinging a steel mace and, you know, doing the type of fitness I do. And it was just a lack of understanding, right? You know, and really a lot of times when I mention like, hey, I got fired from a gym, people are like, what the fuck? Why would anybody do that? And really it's just, you know, a lack of understanding. What I do for fitness is just, it might be the opposite of how certain people took in fitness. Like for instance, everybody in the 80s and 90s era, they feel like having big bulky muscles, like all our heroes during that time. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Hulk Hogan, Sylvester Stallone, Mr. T, all these big ass buff guys. And so we think that, you know, that is truly a sign of strength is, you know, being big and tough. And we get that way from supposedly lifting heavy weights. So when somebody sees me and I'm swinging around a 10-pound mace or a 15-pound mace, they just don't understand how it can be an effective workout when they're lifting, you know, 10 times as much or 20 times as much or 30 times as much. That's wild. I've never really thought about that. People work out with 30 times the amount of weight that I do. It's fucking wild.
Yeah, man.
So, all right. So we've got all these people. We've got all these heroes. We've got this certain way of thinking. You know, we need to get big. We need to be strong. And there can be something said for that, moving a lot of weight. However, there's another way to think of strength. I had every now and then I do a feat of strength. Like I work out with 10 and 15 pounds and not much more than that. But every now and then I will do something very masculine, like a heavy deadlift or a Turkish get up with a tire. I mean, just something to feel that feeling, because it is a good feeling moving heavy stuff around. So I did this Turkish get up with it was like a 120-pound tire. And there was a group of people watching me perform this feat of strength, guessing that, hey, that's pretty cool to watch, but also there's like this, what if it doesn't go right? What if Leo drops that big ass tire on his face? So I do this Turkish get up and I set it down and I have like a little moment of peace, just like any type of heavy lift. And one of the guys asked me, Leo, how did you get so strong? All right, this guy watches me work out every fucking day. He sees me going to the gym, smelling like weed, short shorts on, no t-shirt, and I swing around a steel mace for hours and hours. Well, you fucking know how I got strong. You see me every day, but it's a lack of understanding. I don't get it. I don't understand it. So this guy walks up to me and he says, how did you get so strong? And I told him, I learned how to express myself, right? I created myself. I came to terms with who I am, and I grew exponentially in strength, right? Cool uncle didn't fit in. Motherfucking cool uncle didn't fit in. He showed up to Hanukkah, Christmas, in a leather jacket and jeans. Everybody else wore a suit and ties, Christmas sweaters. Cool uncle didn't fit in. And it was through not fitting in that he learned a little bit more about life. Just more outside the box. Not that he's any smarter than you, but he just has different experiences and might understand things a different way than you or I. So the Savage was built from being myself, going out on adventures, and simply being misunderstood. It was until the day that somebody really understood me that I was able to start building myself. I got fired from this gym. See, the problem was, I was fairly convinced at the time. I hadn't proven it yet, but I said, man, I bet you I could get just strong as all fucking shit with a mace. I just don't see any reason why I can't just be ungodly strong. And so in practicing the mace and teaching other people, I ended up losing the job because of the misunderstanding. But because I lost the goal doesn't mean I lost the vision. I said, hey, I worked for a gym and they had rules and I had to obey the rules. Now I got fired from this gym. I do not have to obey the rules. I get to create the rules. I didn't have the option of finding a gym I could swing mace at. Even to this day, there is not a gym in the world that is designed for the movement practice that I practice. So I cannot find it. I have to create it. I have to create a place to swing mace, to express yourself, to teach fitness the way I thought it could be taught. This is past tense. That's why I'm saying thought. So I end up teaming up with a guy and we open up a gym. And I have 30 steel mace. And I don't think there's 30 people in the town I lived in, Albuquerque, New Mexico, who knew what a steel mace was. Regardless, my first day, we opened up, we had 30 mace, and we had exactly 30 students. And it was an awesome thing. Now, from those 30 students, we started to build a gym. The gym, when I joined it, had 6 members. Within 6 months, we had 132, which was pretty good growth for us, especially like this unproven system, this guy kind of swinging a 10-pound mace around and, you know, finding people who believed in it and stuck to it. That was, I mean, 132 people. What a huge number from 6. I just couldn't believe that there were that many people who identified with Cool Uncle. If you can't tell by now, I'm a fan of Cool Uncle. All right. So out of all these guys, there was a little bit later down the road, I had a business owner, this guy named Adam. He owns a dispensary here in America. So he grows weed, he sells weed, it's all legal. And Adam, he says, "Hey, Leo, I love working out here. I think I'm going to get everybody at my greenhouse a membership here. That way they can work out with you." So it came to be that every time I taught noon class, I would teach in the afternoons. I would have about 20 young men and women from a dispensary come in and work out with me. Let's just listen to this. Here's this weird guy. He got kicked out of a gym, created a gym for himself, for weirdos like himself. A guy who owns a greenhouse comes in, sees cool uncle, this guy on his own mission, kind of like himself. He's in fitness, or his whole family, this guy Adam, his whole family's in fitness. He is in the weed business. Kind of a rebel. Seems like somebody who created a life rather than found a life. I'm sure if he found a life, it would have been a lot like his parents. However, Adam decided to create this business, this marijuana business. And we get these 20 men and women from this operation that would come in, and we identified with each other. Here's what they understood. They got to go into a gym, and there was this crazy fucking guy in there swinging a steel mace, yelling all the time, reeking of weed and happiness and self-expression. And you know what they said? These are the same guys. These are the same men and women that go to the holiday. And they're like, "Yeah, I'm just going to sit in the corner. I'm not really into the consumerism and conforming and all this stuff." They had a hero. They had a champion. They had somebody that they got to look up to that was weird just like them. And it empowered them to show up. And it was through that experience that I got my name, Leo Savage. We had this guy, Ben. I'll never forget Ben. Ben's like 5'9" when I met Ben, right? Ben spends most of his life growing plants, hunched over, leaning over, you know, so he's got this like roundness to his back, right? He's in flexion all the time. Ben's like 26 years old and he's in chronic pain. The guy's really 6'2", but he spends his whole life bent over a plant, leaned over a cell phone, leaned over a computer. And at 26, the guy is in chronic pain. He didn't recognize he was in chronic pain. He was just always in a bad mood. No matter how much medication he took, no matter how much weed he smoked, he was just in a bad mood. Well, we added some mechanics to Ben's life, and Ben went from being 6'9 to being 6'2". We took all that pressure off his spine, right? Can you imagine that?
That's like, impressive, man.
That's like four inches of compression in someone's structure. Being able to take that type of stress off of the body, especially the spine, you know, where our central nervous system runs from.
Wow.
So Ben, he's like 6'2". He starts turning into an athlete, like boom, boom, boom. You put a 26-year-old in a place to grow positively, they grow like weeds. I get it. It's a pun. All right. So one day, Leo Savage gives a pretty intense class. You take my class, you're going to have fun, but you're going to work. And we're doing V-ups. So you lay on your butt or on your back and you lift your legs off of the floor. You lift your upper body off of the floor to where you're only on your butt, and you make the letter V with your arms and legs, V-ups, like a sit-up. And Ben can't do these, like most 6-foot-tall people. Making the letter V out of your body is very difficult. So we're doing V-ups, and then I hear Ben, he's laying down on the floor. He goes, "Hey, Savage, like this?" And I look over at Ben, and he is killing these V-ups. They just look perfect. And I was like, "Yeah, exactly like that." And I broke character for a second because of how impressive the V-up was, right? And I kind of take a step away and I go, "Wait a second, he just called me something that wasn't my name." So I turn around and I said, "Hey, did you call me Savage?" And there's this room full of, there's over 20 people in there. There's, I don't know, maybe 30 people. They all stop for 1 second and they take off their workout. I'm kicking ass face, and they all just smile at me and look at me. And one of them goes, "Yeah, we call you Savage." And I look down at Ben. And I say, "You guys call me Savage?" And he kind of does this like goofy laugh. "Yes." "Yeah." I'm all, "Why?" And he goes, "Well, you run around in your underwear or swing a mace and yell. You're pretty savage." And I was all right, get back to work. And so the boys started calling me Savage. I changed my Instagram name to Leo Savage. And that's where I took hold of my identity. You know, and I started really thinking, you know, there's this thing that happens, right? Like, when you're put into a leadership role, you have to start making, you don't have to, but you have an option, right? You get to lead people if you are put in a leadership role. Well, normally when people give you a nickname, it's because they respect you. They love you. In the military, they give you nicknames, commander, lieutenant, sergeant, yada, yada. These men chose to give me a nickname. And it empowered me to recognize I am leading these men. And you start making choices based on, I have this identity now as Leo Savage, a leader of men. That's how the Savage got his name and started getting into fitness. And not only that, but from that day until now, I have worked on creating myself. Creating an identity for myself. So when you talk about like creating identities for yourself, it could get a little tricky, right? So I like to look at prime examples. Superman, Batman. Both their parents died, right? Their worlds were literally changed overnight. Well, one's world was blown up and the other one's parents were murdered. And it was through that tough time that these heroes went on what we call a hero's journey.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Superman was Superman before he was Superman. He just had to be put in the right place to become who he needed to be. So once I had this identity, Leo Savage, it was a matter of really honing in on what that identity means. For instance, I live my life now differently than I used to when I first got the name Leo Savage. Leo Savage just used to be this badass mace guy, I'd swing mace, I'd impress people. And now, I don't necessarily swing mace to do cool shit to attract people to what it is I do to spread information. Instead, I've used my power, I'm still talking like a superhero, to help empower those around me. You know, my main job now is to help create more leaders and help guide people through the experience, some of the experiences I've had. So that was kind of how I got my name, but it was not my hero's journey. It was just my name. Superman was Superman before he was Superman. However, he needed to go through quite a couple things before people recognized him as a hero, including himself. So I would go on this journey, teaching steel mace, doing the Savage thing, becoming Savage, and a awesome company, you might have heard of them, bum, 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 the Honored Academy found out about me, and we started to form a relationship, pretty good relationship. And, yeah, the Honored Academy and the Savage would appear to, support each other for the next few years. And really my goal, I found out that the Honored Academy had a steel mace program. And there was a trip to me, right? Here I am teaching steel mace, trying to figure out what to do with this thing. And I find out they have a certification, like an honest to God certification. You know, and I think, man, I better take that, you know, because, you know, the more education I get, the better. So it would come to pass that I would take the Onnit steel mace certification. I've actually taken it 6 times now. That one piece of certification, I've taken 6 times. And Onnit and I would start to become friends and support each other. And they have supported me for quite a while in one way or another. It was always a goal to me once I understood that the Onnit Academy had a certification. I said, well, fuck, I want to teach people still mace in the way that the mace has helped me through my life. And I guess we can get a little bit more into that. I wanted to provide that opportunity of growth for everybody out there. So I began a pursuit of seeking employment through the Onnit Academy. Really, I just wanted to teach people how to swing mace, and it was the most logical step to impacting the most people. Well, then that would probably bring up the question, well, why was it important for you to, or important for me, to teach people still mace? All right, so let's get into a little bit more of the hero's journey, the tough stuff. I'm practicing still mace. I'm certified. I'm in pursuit of the Onnit Academy as far as like becoming an ambassador or an employee. The Onnit Academy, they're into it. You know, we're working on making things happen. Meanwhile, I have as I'm developing as an athlete and a coach and leader and really trying to figure out who Leo Savage is, I'm in a relationship, and I put a lot of time into what I do. I put a tremendous amount of time, and it would come to pass that my relationship started to suffer because of the amount of time I was putting into the mace movement, you know, this practice of self-development, this movement practice, whatever you want to call it. And, I'll never forget it. One day I come home from work, and my missus at the time, we've been together for 8 years, and we actually share a child. I helped raise her daughter from the age of 2 to 10. I come home. Becca wants to go out, and my ex, she wants to go out and drink and have a little bit of a celebration. And I don't have a great relationship with alcohol. I don't really like being around a lot of drunk people. And, I've just had some weird shit happen to me throughout my days. I just try and stay away from it. So whenever I'm presented with an opportunity to go out and drink, I 9 times out of 10 will just shy away from it, right? I just don't do it. I don't want to meet you when you're drunk and I'm sober. You know, it's just a weird thing I'm not into. So Becca goes out and drinks. She comes home at 5 in the morning. I'm headed off to work. And Becca cheated on me. And most definitely. And, she told me about it. That was pretty much it for me and my relationship. And, it's from a short time after that, I was homeless for a bit. I have not seen my little girl, Maya, since that day. Wow. And I was really confronted with being extremely alone. Extremely, extremely alone. And, I've done some things, man. I broke my nose. I broke some ribs. I've had a tooth shattered from getting punched back when I used to do MMA. I've had a lot of pain in my life. When I was young, as a child, I went through some physical and mental abuse. But nothing has ever came close to the pain that started from that selfish decision. And it would send me into this other world. And it was a very dark, very lonely world. And Chris, really the only thing I had was my mace practice. After that relationship ended, my whole life was in that house with Becca and Maya, and dude, as a, you know, we had a four bedroom house, huge backyard, huge front yard, fucking TVs on all the walls, two car garage, you had a home gym, and in the, you know, we fucking had everything, man. I had suits and clothes and fucking everything. And so I'll never forget it. I'm confronted with moving out. I'm scheduled to go by the house to get my things while nobody's there. And I start packing and I realize how bad it hurts. You know, like I lift up a shirt and there's a memory. I fold a pair of pants. There's another memory in the pocket. So I threw everything I had owned away. I kept 4 or 5 pair of shorts and shirt, a couple hoodies. Well, my Xbox and my TV I took as well. So,
good choice.
But I threw everything away. It just hurt too bad to pack. And in the moment, I wanted to get out of pain as quick as I could. So I wheeled the trash can into the house and threw all of my belongings away. Put everything I owned in my car, which wasn't much. And I lived out of that bitch. I was fortunate enough to work at a couple gyms, and they allowed me to have keys to the gyms. So, not that everybody knows, but HYI, thank you so much for letting me sleep at your gym. Evolve Fitness, thank you very much for letting me use your showers, because I didn't have a motherfucking shower. I didn't have a place to sleep. And so, yeah, I just spent a lot of time going through pain. And the only thing I really had was my, you know, my Mace practice. And, you know, I was just in so much pain that there was just nothing that got me out of it. However, I would get relief when I would practice my Mace practice. So for however long my Mace practice lasted, I could subside the pain just enough. You know, so in this time, I've always been known for having long workouts. You know, like a 3-hour workout's a good workout for me. But seeing how this is my only way to get out of pain, these workouts would be very long. Very, very long. Mm-hmm. So there's these, there's this practice. It's called cutting. And this is an emotional stress relieving thing that people do where they mutilate their bodies to relieve stress, like cutting your arms. Or it's a practice of self-harm. I wasn't cutting myself, but when I was going to the gym, I was trying to feel as much physical pain as I could through using the steel mace to help hide the internal pain. So I was using the mace to cover up, you know, this brutal thing that had happened to me. And, you know, it would happen that people were watching me on my journey, because I was always, you know, posting my struggles. And, you know, really when I'm asked about that, and I've never really been asked about it, but I really developed a relationship with social media in those at that time, just that I didn't have anybody to talk to or anybody to vent to. So I, even though it was just a post, I got to say how I felt, you know, like I was hurting and, you know, all the things that go along with that. And so Instagram and social media and, you know, however, I know people poke at it, but, you know, I took it very seriously. And that it is a very positive way to connect with people out there. So I developed this practice of being more visible online as I was going through this thing. And I started to develop like an audience of people who were almost cheering for me to get through it. And, you know, wishing me good luck. And then, you know, the journey continued, and it was had been like that for a while. And, you know, the whole time this is going on, I'm like falling apart. I'm living in a car. I have like almost no income. I end up moving in with my brother and staying with him and his family for a short time. And I just said, like, I just remember, I was like, dude, fuck this shit, bro. Like, I'm not going to have anything happen to me where I'm at right now. Like, there is nothing here for me. And I said, well, okay, well, if there's nothing here for you, then where is there something? And so I moved to Austin. I moved from Albuquerque, New Mexico to Austin. Well, on at the academy, they told me that they were looking to employ me, and we had been trying to work on something for some time. So I just said, hey, I'm going to move up there. If things work out, great. I do know that if I move out of town, there'll be certain sacrifices I have to make. And so I kind of weighed them out. I saw what was in Albuquerque for me. I said, yep, it's time to move. I set up a goal 3 months from that day to move to Texas. I said, man, 3 months, I'm going to get to Texas. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it just like this. Turned out I landed a really good gig, so I teach steel mace all around the world. That's what I mean about a gig. At this time, I have a digital content now. However, at that time, I would travel. I ended up landing a really good gig in New York at the world famous Solace Gym right by the Empire State Building. Nice. And we had like 50 something people there. And man, you got to understand, Chris, I went from like being alone and working out, practicing self-harm through fitness to get over the stress. I land a workshop and 50 people show up. It's just a tremendous thing to go from nothing to something like that. And it wasn't like, hey, man, there's 50 people here. Your whole life has changed. But what that did do is it put a fat stack of cash in my pocket. So that 3 month goal turned into, I am moving to Texas today. That was pretty much it. And so I drove my ass up to Texas with with the same stuff I moved out of my house with. You know, I think I upgraded my wardrobe to another pair of shorts. So I might have had 6 pair of shorts and a couple shirts. So I moved here to Austin and started going to the Onnit Academy. More just for inspiration than a job, although the job was like, I wanted the job. When I was in Albuquerque, you know, like when I would go to a gym, it was always like, what are you doing, man? What's that thing? And I'd have to get into a conversation. And listen, man, I'm going through fucking heartache. I got tears running down my face and I got to talk to you about this. Uh-uh. Leave me alone. When I get to Austin, when I get to Texas, and I start swinging my mace, there are people looking at me as normal. But it's different. It's more intrigue and curiosity. All right, Onnit Academy, right? You never know who you're going to run into. I remember one day I'm working out, and I can feel that there's this group of guys looking at me. I say, okay, that's normal. Based on my past experience, my thought was, okay, these guys are making fun of me. And I just paid them no mind. Kept doing my thing. And I look over at the guys. I kind of break out of my trance. I'm in flow state working out. And I look over at the guys, and they were mimicking my movements. And I said, oh, how interesting. They are not making fun of me. They are trying to figure it out. One of the guys at the gym just kind of normal guy, just he's there. He walks up to me and he's like, hey man, do you know who that is? He's referring to the group of men who were like mimicking me. I said, no, I don't. And he proceeds to tell me that they are like NFL football players. They're getting ready for the season, that that's that guy and he's important. And that guy, his jersey's on the wall. And that guy ran for, I don't know. He told me all these football things that I don't understand. And what I saw was like one thing that Onnit Academy talks about is unity and diversity. It's very easy to have the negative conversation. And I can look at the football players and say, that's not how I work out, therefore it must be wrong, and vice versa. However, these trained athletes saw another guy doing something athletic, and they were curious, just like the people of New Mexico. However, these people's environment was just a little bit different. The Onnit Academy has created this amazing place where NFL players and mace-swinging underwear models can hang out in the same room and admire each other. Whereas to one time, you put the football player in any other environment, and it's a very difficult conversation for them. Yeah, so I would find a home in Onnit, and I would find a lot of relief. And it turned into my workouts with the steel mace were not so much about self-harm. They weren't about me putting myself through hell to get out of hell. But it started to become this place where I had a clear lens on the direction I was going. And stress started to relieve itself. My personal practice with the steel mace went to another level. You see, it was through a couple years this process took. It took me quite a while to get to the other side of, well, I mean, I guess I'm still working on it. However, there has been significant change in the last couple of years. And my practice went from being something that I'm trying to get over this traumatic thing, my hero's journey, that I was able to then take what I do and facilitate the same type of growth that I had. All right, so here's this guy. He swings mace, and he got himself out of a horrible depression. So to me, I thought, well, this is just something that happens, that happened to me. It's a very special thing. The circumstances that I had led me to feeling like this. However, it is my journey. Nobody else is going to have the same journey. I was wrong. People had already gave me a role in their lives as a leader in the mace community based on my work. People who were going through the same problems as me, they were able to recognize, first of all, that we were going through the same problem because I allowed myself to be vulnerable on social media. I'm dealing with heartbreak, depression, anxiety. Here is the thing that I'm doing to get over it. Well, people on social media saw what I was going through and started professing to me, Leo, I picked up the steel mace. It's helping me get through my shit. Thank you so much. I'm like, well, I didn't really do anything. I just posted some videos. I said some things. I shared my journey. But I put myself in a position where people could identify with me. Hey, I'd love to heal myself too. And this is how this guy's doing it. I'll give it a try. So it became this thing where people around me started healing themselves with this movement practice. And not just like one person, but people all over the motherfucking world. And so I asked myself a question. I said, Leo, how can you teach this? More than just the movements, how can you teach the healing process of what you've gone through and what you've been through? How do you convey that to people? Because the reality is people just like you have this mace and are going through self-expression with this mace without instruction, because there really isn't any instruction. They're just winging it. And for some reason, this makes them feel how you did. Well, if that's the case, it is not an anomaly. This is not something special that just happened to you. But since it is happening all over the world, it must be a skill. It must be a practice. It must be something you can do and get better at. If it's a skill, then you must be able to teach it. So it became a process of saying, all right, why are there people all over the world that say this practice is helping heal them? I went on a little bit of self-discovery. I took some time and started to develop the important answers. So here's this. I have this small group, Chris. This is kind of off to the side, but I have this small group. It's like 100 plus members in there. They're all people who have trained with me. It's like a Facebook closed group. And I asked just a simple question. Why do you train with the steel mace? I didn't ask one person. I just kind of threw it up there to see who would answer. And it was the wildest thing, right? Because here we are in fitness asking over 100 people why they work out with the steel mace. Not one person said anything ego-driven. I want bigger biceps. I want bigger legs. I want nice abs. I want to lose weight. I want to look different. There was none of that. It was all, I do it for meditation. I do it for peace. This heals me. This is my practice of getting to know myself. What a beautiful thing, man. I mean, could you think about that? Like fitness in a world that people are not trying to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger and our heroes, but are really trying to feel a certain way. What if that was the goal of fitness? That would be a different world. Well, good. I'm into that different world because I'm in it. The reality is fitness is shifting. With the speed that information travels nowadays, you can't hide the bullshit. Hey, listen, you can do Olympic powerlifting, you can do CrossFit, you can do any of that heavy lifting stuff, and you can do it with perfect form, but sooner or later, you will not be able to do it. And if you attach yourself to whatever identity that thing is, I am a powerlifter, I am a CrossFit athlete, I am the person who lifts up the most weight in the room, what will you become when that is taken away from you? You'll become a shell without identity. I know I am the Steel Mace Flow Guy, but my name is not Leo the Steel Mace Flow Guy. My name is Leo Savage. I am who I am. I am not what I do. Although what I do, lead people, heal, is they are characteristics of Leo Savage. I am not the mace. One of these days, I'm not going to be able to swing mace. And could you imagine what would happen to me if my whole identity, my whole world was around this thing of I am the mace? Definitely be setting myself up for failure. And anybody for that matter. So I have all these people. They're into the steel mace because it's healing them. Nobody's trying to get buff. However, gaining muscle as a reward for proper mental health is a very loyal, lean muscle. Not all muscles want to stick to the body. However, the ones you put on your body with a proper mental health will stick to you like glue. Ones that you put on through extreme measurements, heavy lifting, taking mass gainer 5,000 and pump daddy 600, all those things are extremely unloyal. Because you are faking it, those gains will not stay loyal. You are putting that muscle on to make you think you feel a certain way based on how you look, but it is quite the opposite. My body was sculpted by proper mental health and a movement practice. My body naturally adapted as it has before into the state of being I was. Chris, when I was super depressed and living in my car, man, I started losing weight. I was in bad health. I could not grow. I was limited by my surroundings. However, I put myself in a position where I can flourish, and my body rewarded itself. from going through the mental clarity that I have gone through. And seeing now I've gone through it, well, this is a skill that I can teach my people. And I've been thrilled and honored to do so. Help guide my students through the process of creating yourself. Right on. So a little bit of story, man. I rambled on for a bit.
No, you went pretty balls deep on that one, dude. I love a story. And referring back to what you were saying right at the beginning about everyone's attraction to the or your attraction to the cool uncle, right? So it's the what it is. It's the authentic self that you're attracted to, and it's for me, like, I'm really big into this reality being like a spiritual video game. And I know that Aubrey's touched on this before, which he probably waters down throughout the on a gym. But yeah, we're in this spiritual, digital, virtual reality, and our bodies that our consciousness experience itself through is our avatars. And for me, it's about, yeah, creating life. So I want to create the most badass avatar I can. Like, I don't want one that looks like some generically randomized, like computer generated avatar. I want mine to be fucking kick ass. I want mine to be able to do all types of cool shit. I want them to have like real good strength points, real good intellect points, real good dexterity points, all of that shit, in order to be able to experience this game the way to the best that my body allows me to, and really learn the lessons that life's going to throw at me and be able to adapt to them and then integrate their teachings into my life. And it ties so nicely into what you're saying about the hero's journey, dude. I mean, you break it down step by step. I mean, in the hero's journey, you have your normal life. You're just a normal person, but then you have, something happens in your life, a call to adventure. And for you, your call to adventure was presented to you through your gym firing you. So then that puts you from your ordinary world and just changes it up. On the spot, boom. So now life's not going to be the same again. Yep. And from there, what you had to do then was begin to just, you kept to your authentic self and you began to attract quote unquote other weirdos. So who's a weirdo? Well, someone gets called a weirdo when they're not in alignment with the general perspective of normal. You're like, oh, that's not normal. So it's weird. You're a weirdo. So yeah. What does that really mean? Well, normal people are just the result of real cleverly put social programming. So the weirdos are the people that don't abide by that. They're the authentic ones. They're the authentic players in this game. They're the ones who have created their avatar, their character, and they're not trying to fit in. They're not trying to be normal. They're like little glitches in the matrix. So that's why we step out. And I feel like that's the quote, right? Like realize real eyes. And it's, if you're authentic, you're going to begin to attract authentic people into your life. And then what happens on the hero's journey, that when you accept that call to adventure and you enter the new special world, generally you begin to find and make allies to add into your party and to go on side quests with, to learn with, to level up. And they're not going to be basic people either. They're on their own quest. They're on their own hero's journey. And you can see the same was mirrored in your own experience. Like, you began to meet others and by setting up your own gym, and you begin to get like quote unquote new members into your, party.
All characters, which, too.
Yeah, all characters. Yeah. And they, from there, you became Leo Savage. Like, that was your game character fully loaded into the game.
You know what's funny? I love the whole video game philosophy. I play the fuck out of video games. One of my favorite pastimes. And then, actually, just funny, last night I changed my gamer tag to Leo Savage.
Nice. After, what are you playing at the moment?
I play a couple RPGs.
See you playing Red Dead.
Yeah, so I'm playing I'm really into the Battle Royale.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm playing Realm Royal, PUBG, and then Black Ops 4.
You could probably beast it on Twitch, mate. You'd get a massive following.
Yeah, actually, well, that's what I started doing is... all right, so I practice self-care, right? There's things I do daily. I do a lot of giving. I give so motherfucking much that if I don't take time to give myself and reward myself, life just becomes tough. So part of my self-care is I sit down for 2 hours and I play video games every day. I just make sure that no matter what's happening, I get my 2 hours of video game time in. It's fun to play games, but it's just like I have so many friends, man, that I've been with over the years. And, you know, it's like a quick conversation I get to have. And, it's good to live in your imagination. There's actually this gym. I know this is off topic, but you were talking about, you know, attribute points. And it just reminds me of so I teach Steel Mace. Originally, I taught Steel Mace Workshop. So I taught people like the skill, like this is how you swing a mace, go home and practice. Recently, I started teaching a Steel Mace certification. This is how you teach people to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity last year to go to this gym called Nerd Strong. Oh, you're going to fucking love this.
Yeah, I've heard about these guys, right? Yeah. Explain this because I love this.
So a WOD in a gym, workout of the day, very predominantly known like in CrossFit, right? There's a list of exercises you need to complete by this time. They retooled the WOD in such a way that everything is video game based. All right, so you're going to go do a workout. You got to pick out your character first. Are you a warrior, a mage, a rogue? What are you? And whatever thing you pick, you're allowed to make choices or go through certain, you know, make certain decisions. But just to sum it up, right? They have a WOD, a workout of the day, but it's heroized, right? So for instance, there was like, I can't think of necessarily the whole workout, but you had to do like 100 ball slams in 2 minutes, right? And if you get the 100 ball slams done in 2 minutes, you get to go to cool shit heaven. However, if you don't, you have to go to cardio hell. And everything's video game based. Like they have Contra, they have the Avengers, they have like Mortal Kombat things. Like it's just the coolest fucking gym. But it gives it like really gives nerds, weirdos, a place. I'm a nerd, I'm a weirdo, where they can go in and be themselves. I was watching when I first pulled up to this place, there was a set of nerds. I'm not saying this other than to describe the people. Nerdy people, right? How you've been around nerds, we act a certain way. There was a set of nerds standing around this barbell. The barbell had about 450 pounds on it. And this nerd, and I'm saying this name with the utmost respect when I say nerd, walks up to the bar. He hits a beautiful deadlift. Nerds got technique, bro. I don't care what it is. If you're a nerd, you know how to develop technique in something. This guy, nerd, lifts the shit out of this deadlift. He lifts this 400 plus pounds off of the floor and he drops it, you know, after he hits his lift. They do a couple nerdy celebration high fives. And then I hear one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. This girl high fives the guy who lifted and she goes, "Your mana went up by 5 points. That's a new PR. And I literally just had a tear. It was just so beautiful that here are these people who, because of the life they chose, don't have a physical outlet where they can go in and do awesome CrossFit shit. They have to conform. They have to become something they're not if they want to fit into that world. Matter of fact, if you want to be a CrossFit athlete, you got to get the socks. You got to get the headband. You got to get the wrist things. You got to get the chalk. You got to do all the things. Like, you got to take it on. However, here's a place full of nerds where they get to design who they want to be. I'm going to be a rogue today. I'm going to be a warrior today. And they get to celebrate the things like a heavy deadlift, but in a way that resonates with them. Your mana went up 5 points. That's a new PR. Boom! That's the best fucking thing I ever heard, son. So I'm actually going back to Nerd Strong for I'm so excited about this. I got chills. I wish we were on camera. Teaching Steel Mace is a very big deal to me. See, Chris, the mace is, it's like a conduit, right? It's like a peace pipe. It's like a campfire. It's the thing everybody goes to do. However, it's the activities around the campfire that make it what it is. Storytelling, going on an adventure. Storytelling. You do not know this coming into a Leo Savage class, but you are going to get a life lesson. There will be a physical challenge, but I'm going to teach you about life. Chris, I've got this magic tool. It's a steel mace. Everybody thinks the steel mace is this powerful thing. It's magic. Not everybody, but if you have a practice with a mace, you're like, man, there's something to this. There's something magical about this. You're wrong. That feeling you have is within you. It's not within the mace. Chris, I have touched a ton of mace. Yes, let that sink in. And not one of them, not even my very first personal mace, which is named after a video game character, Ryu from Street Fighter, that mace has magical powers. Chris, you got to understand, me and this mace have gone through quite the experience together. If there is such a thing as energy transference, that mace should have the most energy in it. It should have the magic power. However, when I give that mace to somebody, nothing happens. They do not turn into Thor. They stay themselves. The mace is not magic. You are magic. However, we have this over-masculine thing, a steel mace to hide behind. I want you to do this. Think of the steel mace flow that I might do, and then take the mace out of it. I am dancing, motherfucker. I am expressing myself through theater. I am flicking my wrist. I am pointing my toes. I am creating straight lines. I am making beautiful shapes. The mace is not doing a thing. But it is in that. I get to hide behind the mace, and I just get to dance, and I just get to express myself. I was telling the story about the guy who asked how I got so strong. I learned how to express myself. This is when I really learned the power of expressing myself. Well, first peek into that window. I used to fight professionally, and I had a fight in my hometown. I thought it would be really cool. Have all my friends and family and all these people watch me fight. I didn't know how much pressure it was going to put on me. Can you imagine? You're going to fight professionally. You're the main event, and everybody in your hometown is watching you. It is a lot of pressure. I'm fighting this guy, Mark Daniels. Mark Daniels, I've seen him knock out a few people. I was afraid of fighting Mark Daniels. I was afraid in all my fights. I was scared. Afraid, scared. We'll use them both. And I'm sitting in the back locker room, and this is a hometown thing. And it was a little chaotic in that my locker room was filled up with my friends. They just kind of moseyed on back there as security got more loose through the night. The locker room starts clearing out as fights have started happening. So by the time we get to the last three fights, the locker room's just open, and I'm in there with everybody. And I'm terrified. And I got all these people patting me on the back. Leo, it's just practice, man. You ain't scared of shit, man. You Leo, you go fuck this guy up. And I just couldn't take it, man. I couldn't take it. I was going to break. And I just said, guys, I'm fucking scared of shit. everybody's saying just another day, it ain't no thing. It is a thing, and I'm scared, and I've always been scared, and it doesn't help to ignore that. And everybody just kind of looked at me for a second. I said, that doesn't mean I'm not going to go out there and kick his ass, but I am scared. And I would appreciate it if everybody recognized that. And it was like this backpack filled up with 100 pounds of boulders was just lifted off my back, and that I didn't have to waste energy pretending I wasn't. I had all this energy to use. I learned how to express myself. That's how I got so fucking strong. I wasn't afraid to go outside of the box. Or even if I was afraid, that fear wouldn't stop me. I learned this really powerful thing about fear. I have a healthy relationship with fear. Usually when something's terrifying, I go, ooh, how interesting. I met this guy, Heartbeat Flows. He's this awesome Amsterdam mace-winging guy. And we were talking, and he just said something that forever changed my life. As I've always had a healthy relationship with fear, I've never defined my relationship with fear. And talking to Heartbeats, he says, yeah, man, I'm going to Thailand. I'm going to go solo. I'm going to ride a motorcycle everywhere by myself. And I said, well, aren't you afraid? And he goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I must do it. And I kind of looked at him and he goes, Leo, because there is fear, I have to do it. Yeah, fear doesn't necessarily, it's not a bad thing. Like, you know, people might think fear is, oh man, you don't want to be afraid of anything. Why not? Fear tells you to be alive, to be extra alert, to be very aware. It's like your spider sense turns on. Fear is a good thing. It is your relationship with fear that might have you think it is a bad thing. My relationship with fear was a good relationship with fear, in that I understood it was okay to be afraid and that I didn't have to hide it. And matter of fact, sharing that experience with everybody who was in that locker room helped give them one of the, it helped start a principle that I give to all of my students. Lead by great example. In the Steel Mace Flow world, if you are one of my students, you lead by great example. There's a couple different ways to think about that. You know, there's the Steel Mace is so foreign that if you can't do the moves, people will not learn them. So leading by great example means you have to know the moves, you have to know the names, it has to be teachable. But then there's another end of it. I will kick you the fuck out of my group if you lead by bad example. We're fucking with people's lives here, Chris. We're trying to improve lives. We're trying to improve the quality of life. You got to understand, man, some of these people grew up a certain way. Their parents grew up a certain way. Their parents grew up a certain way. And now there is an opportunity to disrupt that cycle. So we take what we do very, very seriously. Lead by great example. Not only that, but we over-deliver. It is our promise, our duty, that whenever we say we're going to do something, we go above and beyond what we do. Yeah, a couple of our philosophies.
I love that, man. I love that literally, you just, again, just hitting it exactly on what the hero's journey is about. It's about not persuading yourself that you're not scared of anything. I mean, that never works. You have to accept fear. And then once you accept fear, you're then presented with a in-the-moment call to adventure where are you brave? Are you courageous? Are you going to face the fear?
I'll tell you what, man. The guy who's not afraid of something, that guy is a psychopath. He's got a thing going on with him that doesn't allow him to think that way. Now, let me tell you this.
I think it's Hollywood, man. Hollywood like programs you, don't they? They program you to see the hero, and the hero's never scared. He's always got his shit together. You watch like a Rock film, and the Rock's never scared in any of the films, and he's jumping off a fucking plane or into a skyscraper, and you're like, what the fuck, man? You're not scared? And he's just like, we're just programmed to feel that the hero has to be completely stoic throughout all the adventure, that he never gets scared. He always rises to the occasion. And because of that, if we do feel fear, we feel inadequate because we're like, oh man, I'm scared. Fuck, this isn't how the hero is supposed to feel, right?
No, I think you should. I think you should feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know? That's what I mean. It's natural. It's a falsity that's kind of projected onto us through Hollywood. Or just through the general sort of mass message that they want to, these social engineers want to program into us. It's always to be looking for the hero, always to be looking outside for the hero to come and save you. But the hero is right there, and you only ever find out if you're a hero by facing your fear. That's the old Joseph Campbell quote. It's the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek, and the treasure you seek is always going to be realizing like that you're the hero all the time.
I like that one a lot. Yeah, yeah, you know, man. I think people's like, you know, a lot of people, like, their answer to solving a problem, drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to quit drinking. I'm never going to drink again. That's how I'm going to manage my relationship with alcohol. I think that's a shitty way to, I think that's a fucking quitter's way of handling a solution.
Yeah, because you're running away from the fear.
Yeah, rather than saying, I'm going to have a really healthy relationship with alcohol. For instance, I mentioned I don't drink. I spend a lot of time not drinking. I spend a lot of time smoking. So I remember telling myself, I'm just going to drink less. And I said, man, you should quit. And I said, no. There's going to be weddings. There's going to be holidays. There's going to be Conor McGregor fights. There's going to be something that causes for a celebration. So rather than saying I'm going to quit and be weaker than this thing that I can't control, I'm going to allow myself to have drink upon a celebration. So, I always give people that advice when they're like, yeah, man, I'm going to give up eating sugar. I'm like, no, don't do that. They're like, well, why not? I want to look buff. Sugar's bad. Sugar's the devil. I saw the Netflix documentary, Sugar's Worse Than Cocaine. I say, yeah, but what's going to happen when you don't have a choice and you have sugar in front of you? Oh, man, I'll always be, life's long. You're not going to get it your way. You're going to be hungry and there's going to be sugar in front of you. And because you said, I'm never going to touch it again, and then you're faced with a situation where you have to, you're going to break your word to yourself. Is the successful, award-winning, amazing version of you, is he the type of person who breaks their word to themselves? No, absolutely not. Well, therefore, in order to be more successful, you need to have a more accurate description on what you're asking yourself to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The prescription's off, not you. Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that, man.
Yeah, make a healthy relationship. For instance, fear. I'm a big psychedelic adventurer. I like going on journeys. DMT, LSD, psychedelic mushrooms, you name it. I'm into it. And I understand that in these psychedelic things that there are scary things happening. There are unnerving things. I like those things. I know I'm safe. I know I'm in a controlled, good environment. And if there is something scary, if there's an unnerving feeling, rather than saying, fuck, I need to get out of here, instead I say, here is a really good, safe opportunity for me to face these demons. Not my demons, mm-hmm. but these demons. Yeah, so have a healthy relationship with fear. Have a healthy relationship with being scared. Yeah,
I mean, you find that most people in their day-to-day life, though, they always do anything to mitigate the chances of, or to be in as much control as possible of limiting the situations where they're presented with a fearful situation. It's like that's literally people are fearful of fear itself. That's what they try to avoid at all costs. But by doing so, they're never in the situations in order to have character development, in order to actually know thyself, to know like how they operate under these situations.
Yeah, definitely.
It's Yeah, again, dude, it's the same sort of thing as you were saying earlier on about who you identify with, and many people just aren't in touch with their inner hero.
And, well, we don't know how to do it, right? Because like we grow up emulating our parents, like, we turn into them. That's it.
Yeah,
and so it's hard to create yourself, because all you can do is really find, and it really takes some outside thinking. Unless you have the right people, it really takes the right people.
Yeah, and it takes the right people, but you still have to initiate the hero's journey. Like, you still have to be part of it. That's how you discover. Like you said, that's how you become the hero.
Yep.
Like, you have to create the hero version of yourself, and it's. Yeah, I mean, you did yours by, again, one of the fucking hell that just literally could just write yourself this hero's journey book. It's by following your bliss, and your bliss, where you found your light in the dark that you were in, was the mace. So you followed your mace practice, and it got you to where you are today. Through your trials and tribulations, you followed your bliss, and that was what sort of initiated the birth of the hero.
Yeah, I've definitely had some amazing people on my journey, because this hasn't been a journey of just being by myself, although a lot of this is created in solitude. Mm-hmm. But that's what happens with most artists. You need solitude to create your masterpiece.
Most well-known artists were well fucked up mentally. They were like, right? all the big timers, like Van Gogh and shit. I mean, what the hell was going through his head?
Could you imagine if somebody understood that motherfucker? Could you imagine if Van Gogh came out today, or one of these amazing artists, people would get them, and they would not just be in the shadows.
They'd be in prison. Fucking hell, fuck that.
I guess you can't do that.
Yeah, he was pretty wild, man. He was wild, and he was the original savage.
Would he have cut his ear off, though, in this era? Maybe something more, or a little bit more.
It would have just been like a public dick pic or something.
Yeah, so John Wolfe, he is the chief, well, Shane Hines and John Wolfe, the chief fitness officers at the Honored Academy, have been on this journey with me, both as friends, mentors, and it's, you know, been through them that I've definitely been able to make it a long way. I do have a partner now, Serena, the Steel Mace Gypsy. And she has helped me out tremendously through this process. And Mike Bledsoe.
Your mentors, right?
Yeah.
That's what they are. Your mentors within your journey. It's like you're on the hero's path, and then you have mentors to guide you.
Got a couple more offices out there plugging me into the matrix, showing me their world, helping me to create my own.
Giving you the red pill, man. That's what it's about.
I'll take both of them. All right. Shit, man, it looks like I've got to wrap it up. I did want to mention, if it's okay, I have a holiday sale coming out. That is going to be December 17th until the New Year's Day. I'm going to be selling my certifications at steelmaceflow.com for half motherfucking price.
All right, dude. And if there's anywhere else that people that have been listening want to find you at, I mean, if they're brand new to you and they're like, yo, I like the sound of Leo, he sounds pretty legit, where can they find you?
Yeah, so steelmaceflow.com, of course, is one way to get a hold of me. And then Leo Savage, there is two underscores between Leo and Savage. That's on Instagram. You guys can find me there. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, but I really don't fuck with them too much. One social media account is enough. So
steelmaceflow.com,
Leo Savage on Instagram, and and then of course I travel all over the world. Hey, and this is cool, 2019 I'm going to be traveling the world. Currently I just travel around the United States and teach. However, next year will be my first international year. I'm extremely excited.
You coming to the UK?
I'm fucking coming to the UK.
Nice, brother. I'll more than likely I'll catch you there with my mate just give a shout out to Raw Form Calisthenics, Lee, Sean, sorry, fucking hell, Jesus.
Sean.
Fuck that plug up. Yeah, right. Sean, you know Sean. yeah, we're definitely coming to catch you. So, yeah, dude, I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, I mean, let's call this one a night. And yeah, thanks for coming on, dude. Much appreciated. And
yeah,
hopefully everyone that's listened has enjoyed your story, got a little bit more insight into the Savage himself. And yeah, brother, thanks for that. And let's try and do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, it's just morning here, so I'm going to go out and enjoy the day. Thanks for having me on. Blessings to you.
No worries, brother. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And this is Calling It Quits to episode 8 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour. Stay woke as fuck, guys. Let's get after it. Peace.